Right, we're going to talk to everyone then, okay, boys and girls? All right? We're all children. If you're married, put your hand up, your wedding hand up with the wedding ring, and we'll all look around. Give it a wave. Yeah? Okay. So way back in September, when we started talking about the Ten Commandments, do you remember this? We renamed them. We said they weren't really laws. They're not rules necessarily. They're more like vows. Well, I did a wedding last Tuesday, and the big nervy part of the wedding is not waiting for the bride. It's not singing the songs. It's not signing the register. It's when the best man hands you the wedding rings. Okay, and I always tell the best man, they go right in my hand. All right. There's lots of little gaps in churches that rings can roll and fall down. Yeah. So all those people who waved, they all had a day when they were given a wedding ring. I've got mine here. Yeah. And the ring reminds me that my marriage has no gaps in it. It never ends. Until the day I die, I have to stay married, in my case, to Joanne. Okay. And Joanne's got one too. Yeah. The ring reminds us of that promise that never ends. And we wear it and we carry it around. And when we look at it, we're supposed to remember the promises we made. God makes that promise to his people. He says, listen, all the people in the world are mine, but you are my special people. And then he makes these vows with them. We're going to have no one else, just us. No other gods, no idols. We're not going to do bad things like murder or cheat or steal. We're going to be different. We're going to be holy. That's the word for that. Now, God didn't give them any rings or wedding rings, but he did give them each other. Because our marriages, our little weddings, are supposed to be pictures of a bigger wedding, God's wedding. When God talks about the end of the world, he doesn't talk about disasters. He talks about a wedding party. That our marriages, our weddings here, point us to a much bigger wedding. And that's really what God means when he says, do not commit adultery. Now, the girls and boys will have to figure that word out later on for themselves, I'm sure. But we know that it means that this relationship has to be exclusive, has to be special. If I have another relationship with someone, Joanne wouldn't be too happy. But it wouldn't just be Joanne who would be upset. Abby and Phoebe would be upset as well. In fact, the whole church family here would be upset, wouldn't they? Yeah. Are you sure? Wouldn't that be terrible? And we see again how it's not just two people. It's not just you and God. That's important. But it's not just you. It's everybody. What we do affects bigger and bigger groups of people. So when God says, do not commit adultery, yes, it means what it means, but we've got to think more broadly that what we do has this bigger effect on people. And the way we are with each other is a reflection of God's way with us. I think my wedding ring reminds me of my wedding day, and it reminds me of Joanne and the girls, but it's supposed to remind me of this bigger promise. And that's really hard to remember sometimes. Okay, great. My torch. Yeah? Always carry a torch. You never know. I've never had to use this, but you never know. It made me think, though, of today, of being faithful, and what Jesus says about our faith towards each other. So if I'm going to be committed to Joanne and the girls and you as a church family, and that's a reflection of God's commitment, then Jesus turns up in the New Testament and he says, do you know what? You've got to be really careful about where you put your eyes. You know that verse? He says, be very careful what you look at and be very careful with your heart. And part of what he says is this. He says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? A very strange teaching, but the eye being the lamp of the body. It reminds me of my torch that actually that I've always got to carry God's light with me. Now, how do I do that? Much easier to carry a torch. How does God's light fit into my life? Well, I thought of a couple of things. One is our kindness. I always ask myself, has the gospel, has knowing Jesus made me kinder? I'm not sure that it has necessarily, but I would love that. So being kind is one of those things. You know, if someone's kind to you, it lights up your mood. It lights up the room, just like a torch would. Part of it as well is speaking about Jesus. If he's the light of the world, if he calls the church to be a place of light, then we've got to be talking about Jesus. Now, how we do that, it can all be different. We're all different people, different skills and abilities, different lives. But we can all find ways to talk about Jesus. It's like shining a light on someone. And we don't shine it on ourselves. We shine it on Jesus. He's the one we've been singing about this morning. It's all about him. By telling others about Jesus, by praying for them, we can be God's light. And the last one is to try to be good. Jesus talks here about light and darkness. We've got to choose good as best we can. And Jesus helps us see very clearly what the right things are. We all know what right is and what wrong is. That can be really hard, but I think it's part of being different in the world. People see that we're different. They see our light, and they start thinking about us and about Jesus and hopefully about God. So it's not just like carrying a torch, but since thinking about that, my torch in my pocket reminds me that I've got to carry God's light with me all the time. Really hard to do that, but really, really important that we try. So if we're being faithful to each other, then we've got to be faithful to each other in this as well. We've all got to put our shoulders to the wheel of being God's people in this place. That's with each other here in church and over coffee, but also out there in our lives. We don't have very many neighbors at Ballygilbert. So you've got to go into your life, into your work, into your families, and be that light that God wants you to be. We said that's really hard. It is. Let's pray about that. Father, your son tells us that we're to be very careful with where we put our eyes, that our eyes have to be healthy and full of light. And that can confuse us a little bit. It can be really difficult to know what that is. But you also tell us to be kind and to be good and to speak about Jesus. Father, those are great things. Lots of us have enjoyed those things over the years, but we still find them difficult to do. So would you help us? Help us to be true to each other, but also true to you. Father, help us to hear what your son says to us. All the things. Help us to think about them, to chew over them week by week in church, and to be those people who are out there in the world praying and speaking about your son. Father, why would we do that? Because nothing else will change the world. We would love the world to change. And you've answered that prayer for us by sending us your son. He has changed our world, and he will one day change the world. Father, make us those people of light so that we're ready for that, but also getting others ready for that too. And give Jesus all the credit, all the glory for what he can do for us. Amen.